Hello, hello, and welcome. Welcome once again to the Start, Scale, and Succeed podcast, the only podcast that grows with you through all seven stages of your journey as a founder. I'm your host, Scott Ritzheimer, and today I want to talk to those founders out there who find themselves spending Sundays catching up on invoices, staying up late to finish client onboarding, and answering emails at 5 a.m. because that's the only quiet time you have. Yes, we're talking to those of you in that startup entrepreneur stage, juggling all the plates and doing it all yourself. And while that might feel like a necessary evil or even a badge of honor, there might be a better way. And here to talk to us about that is the one and only Joanna Zhang, who is an international speaker and the founder of The Operations Genius. She helps entrepreneurs, agency owners, and leaders scale their businesses sustainably through aligned systems, operational clarity, and energy-based productivity. After years of working inside high-growth companies, Joanna saw just how often leaders sacrificed well-being and vision for growth. And now she empowers founders to create freedom-driven businesses that thrive without constant firefighting. She's known for her holistic approach that blends strategy, systems, and soul. And Joanna guides leaders to build companies that are both profitable and purposeful. And she's here with us today. Joanna, welcome to the show. Excited to have you here from the other side of the world, waking up early to be with us today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Scott. I'm really happy and excited to be here to share all these stories and insights with everyone.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, let's just dive in. So you make the distinction that I feel really cuts to the heart of where so many stage two founders get stuck. And that is, it's a really clever way of putting it. I love how you say this, but competence is not the same as genius. Just because you can do something doesn't mean that you should. So my question for you is, why is being good at everything actually one of the most dangerous places that a founder can be?
Right. That's a very great question. I actually put it back to my own experience. To be honest, I'm not the DIY style entrepreneur. There's a lot of things I'm not good at. So at the very beginning of my business, I found like IT or marketing, I'm definitely not good at it and wasting a lot of my time and intent around it, just not really good. And someone else can take 10 minutes, 20 minutes, do a much better job than me. So I realized at the time I had to outsource. However, on the other hand, there are founders who are very self-sufficient. You know, like they can do everything, they are very good at, they can figure out. Because of that, I saw actually many people around me in that style. They was initially start wanting to do everything by themselves. And especially if they had a bad experience in work with others, they will reframe and emphasize the importance of working by themselves because they feel like there's just less hassle. However, most of them I found later on, they will reach a point that say, I had enough. I'm just burning out. I had reached my limit. So I would say the most dangerous thing is that because someone is really sufficient to do everything, they kind of can somehow escape or ignore the sign of self-care and, you know, the capacity to really push to the hardest. Like for me, I didn't have that challenge that much because I had to do that. However, so for someone really independent, really wanted to pull things through, that could be the dangerous thing to ignore the signs.
Mm. Yeah. One of the things that I find particularly challenging about it is that you can do it and then you are doing it. And so there's just no time to figure out anything else and no one can do it as fast as you. And it's certainly no one can do it as fast as you if you have to teach them and train them and talk to them and get through all of that. So if someone listening who just kind of feels overwhelmed with the work that's in front of them and have some experiences where trying to hand it off to someone else didn't go well, what would you say to them today?
Well, I would say it was my personal experience too. If something happened to me before, I somehow used to drag by it. I used to determine my future by my previous experience. Somehow it's saying it's ego trying to protect us, use our previous experience to determine what's going to happen, what we're better to do. So I think that kind of simple effect, it's actually reflecting our own life. Actually, if anyone is facing this kind of experience, can we actually just stop and reflect everything about our life, not just working with someone else? Have we had that pattern that if we experience something, we somehow come up with a solution or a conclusion that it will happen again. So it is actually a sign, again, for us to reflect certain life patterns. So I would say if we had a bad experience with someone or if anything in our life, it doesn't determine our future. Even if we had a bad experience with someone, it doesn't mean failure. It's just a pure experience that we need to learn something from it. Maybe there's something went wrong over there. Probably it's the other party, which we can't control, but some of the part probably is ourselves. Like myself, I started as working with the VA. I had a lot of challenges, hurdles as well, but because I had to somehow outsource the way, figure out a way. But for the self-sufficient owners, they kind of just like, I don't have to go that path, right? So I think at that particular pivot point, maybe stop and think, what has exactly happened during the last experience? If it's because we met someone who hasn't really fit into the criteria, or maybe something happened and not trustworthy, whatever it is, probably they're teaching us, how can we find a better person next time? You know, a lot of time the attitude is even more important than skill. That's how I feel. My experience with the VAs as well. Probably from a filtering process, we need to be aware of something. Or if the previous experience was because our communication or the character crush, whatever it is, there must be something that's reflecting our behavior. Somewhere we can improve, we can learn, and we can become a better version of ourselves as well as a leader. So the previous experience is here to teach us something. If we can look at that way, learn something from it, we can certainly move on from it and not to avoid future possibilities. That's how I feel.
I love that because one of the things that I catch myself saying somewhat regularly with clients is let's not learn the wrong lesson from this. And I think that's exactly what you're describing is we convince ourselves that that painful experience means delegating doesn't work. And what we really should think is, hey, why did that not happen? The way that we tried to delegate didn't work, but this can be different. Hi there, this is Scott. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to get back to the show in just a few seconds, but first I wanted to let you know about my brand new Founders Evolution Quiz. If you're a founder, business owner, or CEO who feels overworked by the business you lead and underwhelmed by the results you're getting, you're doing it wrong. Succeeding as a founder all comes down to doing the right one or two things for right now. So take the quiz today at founderquiz.com. Again, that's founderquiz.com. And in just 10 questions, you can figure out what stage you're in so you can focus on what's going to work and say goodbye to everything else. Now, back to the show. So one of the things you mentioned there is getting the right person. I think that's really important. I think the other side of it is how to actually delegate well. What's our responsibility in that process? And it's one of those things, we're not born delegators, at least most of us, right? Just like we're not born walking, but we can learn it just the same. For someone who has not had any real success in delegating, but knows that they need to do it, what are some steps that they can take to improve on their ability to delegate well?
Okay, I think I'll probably share from this way, from up to down. Like from a bigger picture, I think as a founder, we need to understand one thing that as a leader and founder of the business, a lot of us are visionary style. You know, our style are like we have pictures, we want directions, we want to take things happen. And I found a lot of, for example, we're working with some clients, they are founder style, they're visionary. When they actually come to passing the instruction with the team, they are drawing the pictures, but the team members, and they expect the team members, even the team members or AI, whoever it is, they understand exactly what we So it's a kind of the style where we put too much expectation on another person that that's something in my mind, Ben, I hope you can telepathy, you know, exactly what I want. So that's the one thing. So from an upper realm is a spiritual realm, like a higher realm is the expectation part. Let go of the expectation. And the next one is actually delegation. So go to the next layer is the style, like the method, how we communicate. In terms of that, from the language point of view, right? So we are visionary, we wanted to describe, but the VA is the task doer, like the detail orienter. So their language need a very specific precision steps and directions, lead them through to make things happen. So we need to translate our language from visionary into details. Well, don't have too much pressure because it is a process for us to practice as well. more and more probably during this step, we can use some certain creativity to describe, but also visual steps. So guide the other side through. Actually, there's one of the things that as our team providing this service is that we have a LinkedIn team in the middle, like a project manager, can translate those language into actionable items. So this step is very necessary. And the third step of a detail down is that really, you know, I think it's when we actually have the outcome coming, it's different from what we thought. It's kind of the details how to improve on it. So at the final layer is that we got to have the mindset of not to expect that things will turn out exactly like we will want. And when the outcome comes, instead of just express our emotion, we can give some suitable suggestions. Like that was my personal experience. For example, I asked for a design before and something like, oh, what is that? And I practiced it to give a few attempts. How about change a few this and come a bit better? How about change a few this, come a bit better? And at the end, it surprised me because that's co-creation process. Yeah. It's always working with someone else. It's like working together, not just 100% like what we want. So let's create that kind of openness, communication with on the other person's side and with the process language to make it through.
So good. Why do you think, because it sounds so simple when you explain it, right? Why is it that it's, that when you get down into it, it's so hard? Like, why are those emotions so sharp in those moments?
That's a really good question. That's why a lot of people like to work with AI now, because AI, they don't have rejections. They don't have emotions. Everything we say, yes, 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 go always, you know, like they don't have a sick leave, you know, they don't even need to stop, you know, like, but that's why I really cherish the moment working with the humans. The humans are great mirrors of our souls. Let's imagine that we're here in this world as a, if you believe we have a soul, right? I feel, other than this physical body, we have some other energy around in with us what create all those emotions. Emotion, again, is I used to escape from emotions because, for example, if I'm upset, frustrated, drained, whatever, I want to get rid of that, you know, and I want to become positivity. But I was missing a step of facing those things. I was escaping, not myself. However, when I 4 years ago, I had a soul awakening event, I started to realize to really look at every single thing happened within me and to really face it, even though that's very painful, because every single emotion behind that, there is a lesson to learn. For example, I used to be angry at my son. I don't know why. And then later on, I found out whatever his son is actually some pattern in me. Oh, I realized because I was angry at myself, something I wasn't happy about myself. That's why she reflects my anger, you know. So a lot of time when we're working with someone else, we see someone we're not happy, we judge on them. It's something we haven't accepted ourselves. So since I started to practice all those emotions, started to accept all the aspects of myself, surprisingly, those kind of emotions just faded away. But it is a procedure. Like it is a journey as well. Like what you said, it's a decision of ourselves. Whether if, let's say, I used to work with someone, bad experience, but I decide to try again. When we try that, whether we can really face the pain, find the golden nugget behind it. So why I experienced this, how I can improve. So if we can do this way, every single emotion become a navigation.
Yeah, I love that. And one of the things that I think we overlook that you're pulling out so brilliantly is being an entrepreneur, being a founder is such a deeply personal journey. We like to think like, oh, it's our business thing. Or if you're in the nonprofit world, it's, you know, it's our work thing, but it is us. It's in us, it's through us. And we're such a big part of it. And I love that pause to step back and think, hey, like what's going on in me and what's my role and responsibility in this? It's very good. Joanna, there's this question that I have for you. I ask all my guests. I'm interested to see what you'd have to say. And the question is this. What would you say is the biggest secret that you wish wasn't a secret at all? What's that one thing you wish every founder watching or listening today knew?
Well, probably just based on my previous point. Respect and accept all emotions. I found... probably that doesn't sound related to the business world. However, at the end of the day, I found that the main thing is our self-discovery journey, no matter what we do. Like entrepreneur journey is the extreme one because we're facing a lot of bumps, challenges. And we chose this journey because we wanted to fulfill our vision, right? So we took on this hard journey, and let's not escape or ignore or avoid certain challenges on the way. All those signs are giving us a beautiful, important moment for us to be a better version and to learn something and grow out of certain patterns. So that could be the secret. I used to probably give some logic or tips, but I found at the end of the day, that was purely because I started to really look within myself, respect my own feelings. And yeah, that could be a good start.
So good. Joanna, I know there are some folks listening today that would love to hear more. They'd like to know how they can connect with you and what resources you have to share. Where can folks find out more about the work that you do and what the next step might be for them?
Right. I think the best way, easiest way, you can find me on LinkedIn. Just type in my name, Joanna Jiang. If there are multiple of that, just put operations beside it. I believe I will show up. And also, I will ask Scott in the show notes to share a Unstuck guide. I've got a free guide for the solopreneurs, especially if you're feeling stuck. There's a certain steps you can look into it and start to find out where to start with your delegation journey. And feel free to connect with me. I'd love to, you know, connect and collaborate and to find out some solutions for you. You're feeling stuck.
Fantastic. Well, Joanna, thank you so much for being on with us again from the other side of the world. Really, really appreciate you being here. It was a privilege and honor. And for those of you watching and listening, you know your time and attention mean the world to us. I hope you got as much out of this conversation as I know I did, and I cannot wait to see you next time. Take care.
Thank you.
Scott Ritzheimer here. Thank you so much for listening to the Start, Scale, and Succeed podcast. I hope this episode gave you exactly what you need for your stage right now. If you want to discover what stage you're in, take our 10-question Founders Evolution quiz for free at founderskiz.com. That's founderskiz.com. It'll pinpoint exactly where you are and give you tailored tips to move forward and reach that next level in your journey as a founder. If you got something out of today's episode, would you do us a favor and share it on social media? Just grab a quick screenshot on your phone, text it to a friend, or post it on your favorite platform. Tag us and use hashtag StartScaleSucceed. I'd love to see your posts. You can also head over to scalearchitects.com/podcast to check out more episodes tagged by your stage so you can focus on what matters most right now. Don't forget, subscribe, rate, review. It helps us to reach more founders like you, and it means a ton to me and my team. So let's keep starting, scaling, and succeeding together. I'll see you in the next episode.